Well, that's kind of hard for us to listen to, isn't it? Thinking that God would turn evil toward us, that God would shape evil against us. We don't think of God as shaping evil against us. We think of God as a good God, as a God of blessings, as a God of love. And He is indeed that. Where do you think the evil came from that He is shaping against us, or against the people of Israel at that time, or against anyone? Where does that evil come from? It comes from what we do. It's the evil we do. It's the evil that Israel did. It's the evil that any country or any person does that God shapes and sends back as what we think of as consequences. See, the things we do have consequences to them. We don't always want to suffer those consequences. We do evil and then ask God to forgive us so that we don't have to suffer those consequences. But God knows that sometimes we need to. Sometimes we need the evil in order to recognize what it is we're doing wrong. If there were no bad in the world, how would we know the good when it came? God gives us a choice between good, between God, and evil or selfishness. When we do those things that God sees as good, He rewards us with His love. When we do those things He sees as evil, then He rewards us with our consequences. Is that a bad thing for God to do? What parent has not told their kid, if you do this, you're going to get a whipping, or a spanking, or a time out, or some other punishment? And if the parent doesn't give the punishment, how does the child learn and grow? If God does not let us suffer that evil that we have done, the consequences of that evil that we do, then how will we learn to do better? We can't. A parent who always makes everything okay for their kid, who makes excuses for their child no matter what they do, what they've done, is not a very good parent, because the child does not learn how to grow and become a strong individual who can be a parent themselves. We, each of us, all the time, have to accept the fact that when we do the wrong thing, we will be touched by the consequences of those things. That's how it should be. We ask for forgiveness. We ask God to take away our pain. We ask God to show us His love, and He does, over and over and over again. And yet, over and over and over again, we find ourselves being selfish, turning away from Him, turning away from those blessings that He is trying to bless us with. And then we're surprised. Oh, how could this terrible thing happen? I had an occasion yesterday to do a little preaching, to do a little ministry in the grocery store. I was at the grocery store, and a lady came up to me and said, "Oh, please, sir, could I buy your groceries with my food stamps so that I can get some money for gas?" And I told her, "No, that's illegal, but I'd be happy to buy you some gas." And you know what she said to me? She said, "Oh, I couldn't do that." So I turned to her and asked her, "So you say it's okay for you to do something illegal, but it's not okay to accept my generosity?" And she looked very embarrassed. She said, "Okay, I guess I'll do that." So I finished my grocery shopping and went out and put my groceries in the car, and I sat and I waited for her, and I saw her come out into the parking lot, and I hollered at her and waved to her and said, you know, when you get your groceries loaded up, just follow me. We went to the gas station. I put my card in the, you know, little gas pump reader thing there, and she started pumping gas, and we started talking. And all of a sudden, she looked at the gas pump, and she said, "Oh, how much gas are you going to put in?" And I said, "Well, how much gas are you going to put in?" And she looked, and it said $23.01. And she said $23.01. And I said, "Well, that's fine." So she put the pump back up, turned it off. And she said, "Don't you have a business card?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Can I have it?" And I said, "No, you can't." And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because I don't want you to pay me back. Someone somewhere is going to need your help. I want you to pass it on." And then I asked her, "Is that you?" And pointed to the little plastic thing around her tag on her car. And she says, "Oh yeah, that's me. I go to that church." It said the name of a Lutheran church on it. And I said, "Somebody there needs your help. Don't give me the money back. I don't want it. Let me do this. Let me give you this gift as God has given me gifts. But most of all, let me give you this gift of understanding that this is how He wants us to live. Not by trying to finagle the system." I didn't condemn her for trying to get me to swap some food stamps for some gas money. She was just trying to survive. But I did remind her that that wasn't how things were supposed to go. That isn't how the system is set up to work. And then I tried to show her what God's love means to me. That when you see somebody in need, you don't ask them to pay you back. You don't ask them where they go to church. You don't ask them who they are. You don't ask for something in return. You give the gift the way God gives the gift to us. Now, if she goes out and does bad things with that tank full of gas, that's on her. I'm hoping that she'll take that gas and give somebody a ride who needs it. Or take that gift and let it change her heart so that when she sees someone in need, she'll be able to reach out. When she is in better circumstances, she'll be able to help out. That understandable act could have gotten me in trouble. Could have gotten her in trouble. Probably wouldn't have, but I wanted to show her that it was possible to do the right thing, to accept a blessing, to see that there was a better way to go and a better way to do and a better way to be and a better way to live. Isn't that what Christ does for us? We're about to take this communion meal of bread and wine. And it says in the service of communion, let that be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be the body of Christ, serving the world as Christ has served us, giving to others as Christ gives to us. Being there for other people the way the love of God is here for us. We talk about those things and then we go out into the world and we're asked to live those things. To give a little help, a little word, a little example, a little peace, a little joy, a little comfort, a little of what we have been given. Because we don't appreciate what we have until we meet someone who doesn't have. See, I remember when I was a little kid, we had something in the Presbyterian church that I grew up in called a catechism. And I don't remember a whole lot of it. There were a lot of questions and answers and stuff I was supposed to memorize, do something in Sunday school. Keep up the good work, Pat, teaching those Sunday school classes. I remember some of what I learned. And one of the things that I do remember is it talked about sin. And there were two kinds of sin. sins of commission, sins, things you commit, things you do that are sinful, but there were also sins of omission. When you have the opportunity to do the right thing and you don't do it, that's a sin too. When you have the opportunity to do God's will and you choose not to, that's a sin too. Wow, when we put it that way, we're all pretty sinful, aren't we? We've all had lots of opportunities to do good things and not done them. And we've all done things that we probably shouldn't have. If God was going to give us what we deserved, if He was going to shape that evil that we have done and send it back to us, life would be rough. And sometimes He does that as a lesson, as an example, as an opportunity to show us that we're doing wrong and to help us learn. But much more often He says, no, I hear your cry, I hear your tears, I hear your pain, I hear your suffering, and I will turn that evil into good, and I will forgive you. But then what did Jesus say when He forgave people their sins? Yeah, He didn't say, go have a good time. He didn't say, whoop it up. He said, go and sin no more. You've seen that this is the wrong thing to do. Don't do it. You've seen that this is not good. Don't do it. But then when you have an opportunity to do good things, do those. When we don't do what we should do, we break God's heart. When we do what we should not do, we break His heart again. I'd like to invite all of you to come and join us at our communion table today. The Methodist Church believes in an open table. That means anyone, everyone, whether you're a member of this church or a member of another church or not a member of a church at all, who seeks to have a relationship with God, have a relationship with each other that's loving and caring and forgiving, invites all of you, no matter your age, no matter your church membership, no matter your background, no matter your state or your condition. God's table is open to everyone. He seeks to feed us all. He seeks to comfort us all. And who does He use to do that? Us. We seek to help each other, not just because we like each other. Oh, that's great when we like each other. That's a good thing, right? That's called church family and we're having a good time. But because we do it in His name. We do it for Him. We do it because He loved us when we weren't very lovable. And He cared for us when we weren't being very caring. And He forgave us when we didn't deserve it.